views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in to Adventures in Recovery. Here on the lovely Isle of Vashon, your host, Tom Walston. Happy to be with you every Tuesday at 1:30. Thanks again. Hey, it is November, and it is Gratitude Month, and there's a lot of great things coming up. Today, we're going to talk about, well, there is sometimes an issue where the holidays aren't quite as festive for some of us, and could be a number of different things, false expectations maybe, but we're going to hear from somebody that's going to be talking to you about ways to get through the winter holidays, especially if you might be dealing with something that we call grief. So right after this, we're going to hear from Kenny Alton.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. It split the night, the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispered the sounds of silence.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Alton.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about this grief through the holidays and an opportunity for people to gather and be witness with their grief. I know it's a tough time for all of us. This seems like the holidays remind us of the losses we have and the beauty that we had. And I had been running a grief group for six weeks, and it was heard from the person who runs RJ's Kids, and they are actually sponsoring this next process of grief groups, knowing that how tough it is for some people to get through the holidays with their grief and their loss.
Well, you know, Kenny, I did talk to somebody that attended your last series, and they've really felt like they had a whole different perspective about grieving, that you could turn what can be a very painful situation, which is essential and it's an essential part of the grieving, but how it could actually be an asset.
Right. Yeah. One of the sessions, I called it grief as individuation or grief as gift. Grief is like a threshold emotion or a threshold experience that encompasses like sorrow, anger, fear, all the emotions. I think it hits all the emotional wheels, betrayal. And it's a way to get, you have to go through grief to get to joy. You have to go through grief to get to self-awareness. And I ended the last session with this idea of what's the story you're stuck telling with your grief, and what's the story you want to start living into, want to start telling. And I have a phrase called courtography, which is like sort of a take on words with core being heart and mapping out the heart, you know, cartography, courtography. Mm. And I think grief is a great tool to start mapping out all those aspects. And a compass rose, if you want to look at it as that, like whatever, when you go through grief, it'll start pointing towards joy. It'll start pointing towards fear, start pointing towards anger, and a way to, once you become emotionally intelligent in those things, it'll really bring you into self-awareness and individuation and growth.
Interesting. Well, I know for as long as you've been on the island, Kenny, you have presented yourself in such a well-rounded way. You're a musician, you're a singer, you're an actor, and you're a very essential counselor at Vashon Youth and Family Services, but also a very interesting service that actually originated on Vashon, and that is fill in the blank.
The men's council?
Yes, the men's council, and also known as Journeyman.
Yeah, Journeyman is an organization that started on Vashon, started by two young men, incredibly gifted people, Alex Craighead and Nikki Wilkes. And through that, we've been working with youth and mentoring youth in the schools, what it started out, but it has expanded into working with men, and one aspect of that is the men's council that I've been doing for the last few years. And we meet and we use circle up, we use the same format, and just kind of addressing it, creating a community for men to go to. I think originally, you know, you'd go to the bar and you'd find that community, you find that connection with other men, but now it's not serving us anymore. It's not really what we're needing. And I think the men's council is a place for that. We address, you know, issues that we want to talk about, but also just creating that like community and connection that men need, and mm-hmm. and finding a place for to express in safety, and to listen and learning those skills and listening, because I do use it with the heart circle or the council circle with a talking piece, and we go into many different family of origin stuff, and I sort of combine my counseling skills and my grief experience, and really finding ways to develop and individuate for men as well.
Oh, what a beautiful way for a person to get a deeper understanding of themselves, especially looking at family history.
Yes.
Generational trauma, for instance, is going to answer a lot of questions about maybe why am I the way I am? And it's just so important for us to learn as men, but women too, another way to socialize or be social that does not include going to a bar or going to a place that serves a mind-altering substance. And mm-hmm. let's all face it, alcohol is definitely a mind-altering substance. So when you can get together in a healthy environment it adds a whole nother dimension and a whole nother level of being real with yourself and others.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the depth is, I think we're innate. I think we all want that. And the irony is that we go to this place like a bar or whatever to find that, but then we utilize something that keeps us from, creates more distance and a gap between us. And I think, you know, humans need each other. And I think we, you know, one of my prompts is always like, you know, what are the things, what are the both the positive and negative things you have inherited from your parents? And it creates this really interesting conversation about like, and I try to do that with all the, even with the grief group, it's not just the gravitas of it. It's like the gift of it. You know, we do, we are given our parents, and there's beauty and there's negativity that also goes along with it. But we can't forget the places that we all have been wounded, but it's good to not forget the place that hasn't been wounded. That's purely us, and that's still safe and okay. And how do we propagate that as well?
Well, and asking ourselves questions that oftentimes we don't feel entitled to ask, like, for instance, what are you grateful for?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what are you not grateful for and why?
Mm-hmm.
Because we learn from positives and as well as negatives. And this is Gratitude Month. November is always Gratitude Month. So it's no coincidence that Thanksgiving is in November, mm-hmm. right? So this to me sounds like it's a platform for men and not just young men. I mean, sometimes a lot of us go through our lives never really learning some skills to just let it all out, be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We, you know, and we need each other, right? And we need a safe place to do it, I think. And that's what I hopefully I create, whether either my grief group or my men's council, is a place of safety.
There we go. Safety. That's a big part of it.
And a big part of it, yes.
Yep. Because so many of us are afraid of showing our true selves for fear of being ridiculed or basically just being not accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Rumi has a great phrase, you know, I'll meet you in the field beyond right or wrong, with this binary thing, you know, like I'm not there to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm there to like hold space enough so that you could figure it out on your own or where you need to go in the next space. But this sort of binary consciousness that we live in, this right or wrong, I don't know if it's serving us anymore. And the way to get to this self-awareness is to find a place that's safe.
Well, and also reducing judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, I believe a lot of us, whether we know it or not, resort to having judgments about a lot of things that don't really need to be judged. They just are.
Can't help it. It's part of our human consciousness.
Well, I know, but it's something
but we could improve it, right? You know, Dalai Lama says, we're not here to tell you to get rid of your emotions, but improve them, right?
Okay.
We're always going to do that, but how do we take a pause maybe before we do it and really go into depth before we start being reactive?
Well, here's kind of a good self-test I learned through some DBT training. How often do we use the word but?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like that shirt, but
yeah.
As soon as you add the but, it kind of negates whatever you just said in the first place. So, and I've tested myself, and I want to put in but after I say something. It's like, no, just leave it alone. It alone. You don't have to try to qualify anything or negate anything, but that's a good test for a lot of us to practice with.
I do it with my daughter all the time. Almost the phrase is no buts.
No buts.
We're not going no buts. No buts. No buts.
Yeah, but.
No buts.
Yeah, but dad. Exactly. But that's a fun way to see, you know, so some people say, well, you know, I don't do that. It's like, well, okay. Test yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Test yourself. And we used to do a exercise in, you just hold up an inanimate object and describe it, but describe it without judging it. Just describe exactly what you see, nothing more, nothing less. And that can really be a real challenge for some. So getting back to the grieving class, I really think this is a perfect season for beginning this because it's going to teach a lot of our listeners, well, not just listeners, but people that take it a step further and register for your class because it doesn't require pre-registration. And can you give us the procedure, the process one needs to follow for that?
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping for registration. Just, you know, that's how we get grants. That's how we get just to know how we're going to plan for it. But it's also welcome to drop-ins. But so we encourage registration, and that would be through Susan Pettiger, 206-818-4232. And that'll help us, like, figure out how we're going to approach it. And yeah, it's begins November 13th. There's one on the 20th, and then December 11th and December 18th. It'll be at Women Hold the Key building, and it's from 5 to 6:30.
Women Hold the Key building, which is another social service on Vashon. Mm-hmm. And once again, where is that? I was just.
It's on Gorsuch Road, right off the highway where the old family place used to be. Some people knew it as Family Place. They knew it as there was a vet place there, but right off Vashon Highway in Gorsuch.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, I understand that you were blessed with another grant for one of your programs?
Yes, in the Men's Council, we can now offer this for free because
what?
We got a grant from the... we got a grant to offer it for free, so it's men can do it. I mean, you know, we encourage donations to Journeymen just to keep us going, and those who can.
Mm-hmm.
But this Men's Council, we can offer it to men for free.
Because it used to be where a lot of people possibly could not afford to take this class, and typically, how much are they going to be saving by? I mean, because of this grant, and I'll tell you what, getting a grant in this day and age is a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
With all the cuts. I mean, look at, starting this month, there's no more SNAP, no more food stamps. I mean, that, I'm so grateful for us having a food bank as active and successful as it is here on Vashon, because, I mean, my heart goes out to a lot of these folks that really relied on food stamps to be able to keep their family fed.
Yeah, and healthy and nutrition to keep their brains growing for kids. And that's another aspect of grief, right? Grief is grief. Grief is betrayal. Grief is loss. Grief is the betrayal from our government. Grief is a betrayal from our organizations. Grief is a betrayal from our friends. There's grief around the situation with nature. There's grief around... I like to refer to this, just have this phrase, grief is grief. And you might come to this grief group with one intention, but you will also find that once you start dropping in and being vulnerable and find that depth, all this other grief is going to come up that still needs to get processed, that still needs to get released. And it's a good, transition into, finding more depth and not carrying it. You know, even watching the news, there's a lot of grief.
And we
I think innately want to carry it. And it's hard to carry the world. And sometimes we need to grieve it out, move it out so that we can open it up for other things like joy and gratitude, as you say.
Well, watching the news, I used to listen to the radio on the way to work in the morning. And when I say listen to the radio, and I live in Tacoma, and I was not listening to Voice of Vashon. But when I would listen into, I mean, it was PBS and public radio, and it was usually about national news or international or worldly news. I thought, this is not the way I want to start my day out. And one of the beautiful things about it, and here's a plug once again for Voice of Vashon, you don't hear news. You don't hear about all these negative things that are going on. Or that was a judgment call right there. All these negative things, they are what they are, just like grief is grief.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear shows like, the Morning Scramble, things like Brown Briefly, things about like stirring the pot, I mean, they're fun. They're fun shows to listen to because we're dealing with human regular stuff without a negative component to it. So,
and human connection.
And human connection, because
community, local, human connection, the person next to you that makes you want to like connect to the person next to you, and where you can do service, right?
Well, and to take it a step further, if it wasn't for Truman today, we wouldn't be connecting at all up here.
Gratitude, respect.
Sunshine Mountain is what I refer to it once in a while. Sunrise Ridge. There we go. You can tell I don't live on Vashon, but wouldn't mind it. So anyway, Kenny, would you mind sharing with our listeners, how did you become such a well-rounded person with so many different interests to be able to get involved with so many different things? I mean, that's your gig.
Well, really, you know, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, they called me a crybaby. And so I combated that by not doing that. But I think what started me on the grief realm, and this is, I'll try and make this quick. I was in Washington, D.C., driving my parents around, and we went to Arlington Cemetery. And I didn't really have much interest in it, and I started walking around, and I started walking to this monument. I had no idea what it was. As soon as I got close to it, I started weeping. I didn't know what was wrong with it. I just couldn't stop crying. And I hid in the bushes for like 30 minutes trying to get myself together. I'm, you know, I'm like 24. That's not what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
In public. And I was going to go find my parents, and I thought, well, I should go look to see what this is. And I went, and it wasn't a monument. It was actually Robert F. Kennedy's gravesite.
My God.
And I thought, what the, how did this have an effect on me? So I thought, well, maybe I should look into this person, see who he is. I didn't really know much about him, so I started reading the books about him. And I think it was a book that, I loved the idea of his transformation of, from in the softening of his heart after his trauma, right, of the loss of his brother. And I found a book, I'm going to get probably choked up about it. I found a book that showed the photographs of everybody along the railroad line that took his body from L.A. back to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And it was just picture after picture of this collective communal catharsism that, and I think what I was feeling was that when I was at that site and picking up on the terror psychology or whatever it was, but it made me get really interested in this collective expression, this collective cathartic grieving process. And that was like the catalyst for me, I think.
Yikes. And here you are today.
Here I am today.
Here you are today. Rounding out, and that was your first experience with trying to understand the grief process.
I think so, or yeah, or, and the importance of it, or how we're not separated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm what I was feeling was what probably everybody who walked over there and saw that. You know, it's the heartbreak of 68. It was like, yeah, it was, you know, there's so many assassinations at that point, and I think I wasn't, you know, there. I didn't know about it. I was, you know, but you could still feel that effect. And I think culturally, it really hit us hard when I reading about it. And I think it was just a beautiful book to see those pictures of everybody together grieving a big loss collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started working with Sibanfu from Sibanfu Somme, who does grief rituals, it's based on West African Dogara culture, she's very clear, should not grieve alone. We should grieve together. And seeing that book and reading about him, it really affected me in that way.
Well, it just once again shows the importance of community.
Yes.
We do not absolutely grieve alone. You know, just speaking of when you brought up Robert Kennedy, there are certain, those of us that will live long enough will remember certain incidences of knowing exactly where we were when we heard about, for instance, maybe 9/11. Certain mm-hmm. things make an indelible difference in our lives, and it could be life-changing, but there's a lot of stuff there, a lot of food for thought in just being able to spend time with ourselves and learn more about self-reflection and things like that. So Just to start to wrap it up a little bit, we're talking about, or we're talking with Kenny Alton. Did I say that right?
Alton?
Alton. Yeah. There we go. Want to get the pronunciation correct here. But we're talking about traveling with grief, which can be a challenge for some of us over the holidays especially. That's going to be the Thursdays in November, starting November 13th, November 20th, and then December 11th and December 18th. Once again, thanks to Kenny Alton and being with us once again as a wonderful guest here on Voice of Vashon. Thanks, Kenny.
You bet. Thank you.
You know how I feel. Sun in the sky. You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. So good.